Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
He texted me and said, Sparky, I'm driving through the mountains. You're driving through the mountains, huh?
The great mountains of Appalachia, my friend. I think we're good, though. I see one solid bar hanging on for dear life. Let's trust in that bar. But, yeah, I was in Baltimore Ravens country and driving back to Western New York. I don't know. I'm south of Williamsport, somewhere in Pennsylvania.
You know, I want to bring something up to you. I mean, you've been going and talking to the Ravens for years now, right? I mean, this isn't like your first time in Baltimore covering the Ravens. I was on with Mason Crosby, what day was it? Monday? Doing his show with Mason because Mitch Thunder Nellis was off. And we were talking about Trey Smack, the kicker for the Packers, and being a rookie and all of that. And we got into the special teams aspect of it, special teams coaches. And I said, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't have a kicking specialist coach on a staff. You have 100 coaches. Why wouldn't you have a kicking specialist that just worked with the kickers besides the special teams coach at the end of the day? And Mason pointed out to me that when John Harbaugh was in Baltimore, he did have one dude, the same dude, the kicking specialist, that was there with Justin Tucker on staff. And I don't believe the Green Bay Packers have ever had such thing.
Well, whatever John Harbaugh was doing last year, it didn't work out because it basically got him fired, right? I mean, a missed kick and he's gone. So, that makes sense. I'll say this, Sparky. Every time you mention Mason, I love Mason. Covered him at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was great. Even when he was going through slumps, he would take you right inside of his mind to let you know what he's thinking, how he's fighting through it. He got through it. It was really inspirational for anybody in any industry. I'm of the belief that all kickers and punters should just be eliminated from the sport.
Oh, stop.
So when I hear Mason, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should get off that take because he's too nice of a guy.
Maybe you should find your heart somewhere and put it back into your body. Hey, Randy Brown is the guy's name. You should do a piece on him. He is the senior special teams coach, which serves as the team's primary kicking specialist expert. He's been with the Ravens since 2008, and according to what I can find here, he is still there now.
Well, you know what? Loop was really good last year as a rookie for them. It was just one missed kick. He went 7-7 at the practice I watched. So, hey, you know what? They are doing something right there. Special teams do matter. Like, we poke fun at the Ravens, but you know, that's where Harbaugh's roots were.
Yes.
And just look at the best teams in the league. Like, the L.A. Rams, they don't give a crap about special teams. Everything else was awesome. Matthew Stafford, MVP, Puka Nacua, one of the best receivers, defensive star. Well, what did the season come down to? A gaffe on special teams in the NFC Championship game. As Mike McCarthy loved to say, you get what you emphasize. These teams that don't emphasize it, it's going to cost them. And I mean, Matt LaFleur, you can hire the best of the best, quote unquote, as your coordinator, but it comes down to even having the Jared Bush types, who that's all they do, right? You've got to have those core special teams players and really carry it. I think a lot of these offensive coaches, they kind of look at special teams as a nuisance. Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, until it costs them, and you know they got to rethink the way they do business.
Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com. Follow him on X at Ty Dunn. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Let's talk a little bit about the NFC North. I want to kind of go team by team. Let's first start off with the most outlandish coach in this division, Ben Johnson, who apparently said that his goal is to have the Bears have the single season highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL this year. To which I think most of the NFL is laughing right now. You play in Chicago. You don't play in a dome. You play in Green Bay twice. That's not a dome. Like, I just don't see how that's even remotely possible. Plus, you've got guys that are banged up like Luther Burden already. Your thoughts on just how good this Bears offense truly can be?
I mean, Ben Johnson's a monster. Like, what he did with that offense is damn impressive.
Yep.
And let's, you know, you gotta look beyond the three or four Caleb Williams highlights that have been flashing on our screens ad nauseum for the last 7 months. Like, that offense was really damn good. It was a powerhouse rushing attack. Kyle Manunga, DeAndre Swift, Joe Tooney, that offensive line just ramming it down your throat. I mean, think of that Black Friday game against Philadelphia. It was humiliating. I mean, the Eagles, the defending champs, are embarrassed. They can't stop them. Run after run after run. So it starts there. And I think that, to Ben's credit, right, unlike the previous Chicago Bears coaching staff, and I talked to all of them for a three-parter last year, you know, their big mistake in 2024, Caleb's rookie year, was, you know, acquiescing to the rookie and changing the snap count and changing the offense. And, you know, they didn't really stick to their principles, what they believed, until it was too late. I think when Thomas Brown, the interim coach, tried to get tough and coach the quarterback as hard as the rest of the roster, it was too late. Where here's Ben Johnson day one. This is our offense. This is the way we're going to work. If you want to get on board with this, great. If not, we'll find a quarterback who will. And the quarterback got on board, right? They took the wristband away. Caleb Williams lost some weight. I think he was more nimble. He was a little more elusive running away from some of these pass rushers. And he was okay buying into, all right, no disastrous plays. At times we're going to punt. Punting is okay. And if the game is close, I can take over. It worked. So to answer your question, can you really just hit the fast-forward button and set all sorts of records? I think it's going to be tough. But I do think that another year in this system, the quarterback will be more comfortable. He's got a young core of receivers to work with. It really could go either direction, man. I think they could catapult offensively and be the top five unit, or they don't get those turnovers on defense that they had last year, and they don't have these crazy finishes, and they finish last in the NFC North. I mean, it can go either direction for really all these teams in the division.
And already, I mean, if you look at the safety position for the Bears, that's already went up in smoke because they go get Kobe Bryant, the former Kansas Jayhawk, give him a big deal, and now he's out 4 to 6 months, so he's not going to play this year. And then the guy you had starting opposite him is going to be a rookie who you drafted in the first round. And as we all know, if you don't have good safety play or questionable safety play, that could pretty much unhinge your whole back end of your defense.
And they don't really have a pass rush. You know, that they really emphasize the secondary. Like you said, Kobe Bryant drafting an athletic marvel freak out of Oregon first round. I mean, and it's going to be harder for him to really develop without a veteran next to him. Look, he'll be better than last year. And I give Ben Johnson's running the show there. I know Brian Poole is the GM, but it's Ben's show. They're paying him a lot of money to build this roster out. You know, I give them credit for not tricking themselves into thinking, okay, yeah, you know, all these turnovers, yeah, we can get that again out of Nashawn Wright and Kevin Byard and these guys. Like, they had to reset that group. But in focusing there, they never went out and got a new pass rusher. So, I mean, Montez Sweat is okay. It's going to be tough for them on defense to really slow down these quarterbacks in the NFC.
Let's move on. We'll get to the Packers last. I want to move on to the Vikings. You can explain to me Kyler Murray, because, I mean, based on what's been happening, from what I can read, I'm not there, obviously, and I can see he sucks right now in training camp. And not that McCarthy is anything to write home about, but it appears he's been playing better than him. I don't know if they sold McCarthy that this was an actual true competition, because clearly when you make this call this early and you're Kevin O'Connell, this is definitely telling J.J. McCarthy, I don't care what you did or what he does, I'm playing him.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Week one.
Yeah, man, and we've got a two-part series right here. Here's where I put a shameless plug in, Sparky.
I saw it. Yep.
You know, like, There you go. The Kyler Murray Project spent a good 2 months talking to sources in Arizona, in Minnesota, Hall of Famers, Kurt Warner, Warren Moon, you know, a 17-year vet, and Matt Hasselbeck, and people who know Kyler best. You know, Jordan Hogan, an assistant coach, he had him in Arizona, and he was on Kyle Shanahan's staff in San Francisco. He's got a unique perspective. Chase Edmonds, one of his best friends, played with him in Arizona. Jordan Addison, so, and some coaches like Autry Denson, former Notre Dame great, he had him in Arizona. I think you get a lot of different perspectives here because it's an unknown. All right, yeah, he's this electrifying marvel since we've seen him. Maybe the greatest high school football player ever in the greatest high school football state. Never lost a game. Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick, top 10 pick in baseball just for the hell of it. How is all of that going to fit, that improvisation going to fit in a West Coast offense where you want a robotic Terminator, read one to read two, just rifling the ball out. You tell that quarterback where to go. It's fascinating. And my takeaway, Sparky, I think it can work. I really do. And you go for, I mean, first of all, situations matter. All right. The Arizona Cardinals, nobody cares about the Arizona Cardinals, so we don't make fun of them like we do the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. But the Arizona Cardinals under Michael Bidwell, it is a dystopia, man. I mean, he is the worst owner in the sport. You had players having to buy their own meals up until recently. The weight room, the facilities, all small.
The general manager, Steve Keim, apparently he was a piece of work as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's really hiring the best of the best, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that's your infrastructure there. Awful. And then you go granular. Look at the players around him. Marvin Harrison Jr., the stuff that I heard about him in this story kind of blew my mind. It made sense to draft him at the time. I think we all – I mean, you got a lot of Big Ten listeners. He had production. He was a Biletnikoff winner. To take him over Malik Nabers in the moment didn't seem that outlandish. NFL people – I tell you what, Kyle Shanahan, the people in that division, they were jumping for joy when Arizona took Harrison because the more they watched him, the more they saw he does not have that dog in him. He isn't confident. And the reason he isn't confident, what I was told, is that his father is unbelievably hard on him. He could have a great game, and he's getting the calls. He's getting the texts. It's never enough. And it was hard for him through college, and it was hard for him through the pros. Talking to sources in Arizona, I had heard that one coach said that this was the hardest player that he had to coach in his entire life for all the reasons you wouldn't expect at the wide receiver position. So he didn't run a 40. He's slow. He didn't run a 40 for a reason. He plays small. And this is the guy that you're drafting to take Kyler to the next level? That was the final nail in his Cardinals coffin. To go from that to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, I think the run game is going to be better with Frank Smith as the run game coordinator. I think Kevin O'Connell is a – look, he picked up Joshua Dobbs on the fly and managed to win. Sam Darnold went to a different level. Call me crazy. I think this can work, man. I think that Kyler Murray in this offense, they can compete for a division title and maybe more.
I agree with you. Kevin O'Connell definitely is a quarterback whisperer at this point. I don't think that's debatable. Ty Dunn. GoLongTD.com. Great piece up on Kyler Murray. That's what led me to reach out to him and talk about the NFC North. Check that out today. Subscribe today as well. Follow him on X at Ty Dunn. What about the Detroit Lions? In a weird way, it's been kind of a weird offseason. Really nothing coming out of Detroit. The fans seem to have shut up. Everybody kind of under wraps a little bit. Not a lot of outlandish, crazy quotes from Dan Campbell anymore coming off of last year. How confident are we in the former Cardinals offensive coordinator now running the show in Detroit?
It's all business out there in Allen Park, Michigan. I did go out there during mini camp, and I think you just nailed it, Sparky. That really is the tenor of their building. It's I don't think that Dan Campbell's going to change, right, in terms of how he practices. You know, there is some criticism out there. Fred Warner on a podcast, you know, he's ripping Dan's practices as being too hard. Look, they're not doing joint practices. They're still going to hit. They're still going to, you know, try to simulate in September despite all the injuries they've had. And you just have a lot of veterans now that have seen this thing through. They turned the organization around that way. But Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ryan Branch, Aiden Hutchinson, all of these players, Penei Sewell, They've been banging at that door, and I think there's just a, you know, for the lack of a better term, they're pissed off. Like they believe they should be in the Super Bowl by now, and yeah, they're not saying much, but they're still saying a lot with their pads. And with that kind of talent, and the schedule won't be quite as hard, I think that they absolutely can get to a Super Bowl with just the pure talent they have. And it's always that something extra. Right? How do you quantify that intangible? I don't think anybody really knows, but it just feels like a team that understands that urgency is high. We've got to get it done. Now, everybody's been paid, right? Everybody that they took chances on in the drafts and free agency and trades, like they're all paid. All that's left now is to win, to get to a Super Bowl.
What about the Green Bay Packers, the team that we all care about in the state of Wisconsin? How do you look at them right now? I think for Packer fans themselves, having seen reports out of training camp practice, having watched family in it, getting ready for Packers and Steelers coming up tomorrow night with Rodgers and Jordan Love, with all of that going on, I feel like the biggest question mark for Packer fans is the offensive line, and how much better can they really be from last year, and can they actually finally stay healthy?
Right. I mean, no Micah Parsons, no Tucker Kraft. We could, like, begin and end the conversation there and say they're going to be better. But you know what, Sparky? You can't quantify the lack of a killer instinct through a transaction. How do you get that? That's the problem for the Green Bay Packers. They, you know, with those players, without those players, all season long, they had teams on the ropes. Finished right to the end, 21-3 Chicago. You know, we could spend hours talking about that game. And some way, somehow, they let their foot off of the throat. I mean, I thought Javon Bullard put it eloquently when we sat down in Milledgeville, Georgia for a piece, and he said, you know, we had these MFers dead to rights, and we didn't have a killer instinct. We let off the gas. We have to get that. How do you get that? Right, to me, it's coaching. A team is going to take on the personality of their coach every time. We just talked about Dan Campbell and the Lions and how this team that's been terrible for half a century is now a contender year in, year out. And Matt LaFleur is one of the smartest coaches in football. The work he did with Jordan Love, outstanding, right? I mean, it's old-fashioned, 3 years, developing him as a backup, developing him as a starter. He's going to have more control of the line of scrimmage. Jordan Love might be a top-five quarterback this year, and Matt LaFleur deserves all the credit, for a ton of the credit, for helping him get to this point. But, man, like, you've got to be able to put a team down, bring them out to pasture when you have the Chicago Bears or you have the Chicago Bears. Right? That's the kind of loss that does get people fired in the NFL. He wasn't fired, and we'll see where they go from here. But I know this, man. You can point to a lot of examples. Think about the Denver game, Sparky. What happened when Jordan Love gets whacked in the head on the sideline? Nobody does a damn thing. Yeah. It reminded me of the Buffalo Sabres hockey Ryan Miller goalie. Milan Lucic takes him out. Nobody does a thing. They didn't even make the playoffs for the next 15 years. I'm not saying it's going to happen to Green Bay, but, man, did that speak to the fabric of that organization, to the soul of the roster? I mean, Matt LaFleur sets that tone. Hey, you don't want to get a 15-yard penalty? Guess what? Take your 15 yards. I talked to DJ Lang about it. He's like, I'm taking my 15 yards because I want to be able to look at my teammates in the eye in the locker room. And Jordan, my quarterback, would know I have his back. So I would hope the tone of some of these speeches and meetings behind the scenes changes because, you know, what does a bully see? The Bears, Ben Johnson, they see this stuff. They know if you punch the Packers, they may not punch back. So it starts with Matt LaFleur, I think, more than any transaction, any injured player coming back. They got to get a killer instinct because they're going to be back in that moment in the playoffs. And then what happens next, Ben?
I have two questions. I have one question, but I have 2 minutes. Give me your projected order for this division.
Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears right now.
Bears in last?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're... Ben Johnson said it himself. We're the number one regression candidate. It's hard to duplicate all of those turnovers. I don't think they'll be bad. I don't think they're going to be 4-13, anything like that, right? I mean, this is going to be a tight division, I think, into mid-November, late November. But, yeah, somebody's got to finish last. And it's, I really like Minnesota. I was
We will find out, and we will talk throughout the year. He is Ty Dunn here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Check him out. Subscribe to all of his great writing. Him and Bob McGinn, the longtime Packers beat writer. GoLongTD.com. GoLongTD.com. Follow him on X at Ty Dunn. Mr. Dunn, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I ask you a quick question, Sparky?
Sure.
Are there any Jimmy Clausen jerseys at the basketball game at the fair there? I saw one at Cattaraugus County Fair in Western New York, and it blew my mind last week.
I do not know. I have not gone and looked, but I will report back to you when I have a chance to go look.
Please do. I was unable to win it for my son, and I don't know if he'll ever let that one go as a five-year-old.
If there is one to be had, we will try and get it for your son.
Okay. Any random football player works. It can't be a good player. It's got to be random.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
that's what's at these fair basketball games. That's all there is.
Perfect.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Tyler Dunn. GoLongTD.com. Again, check him out online.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.